Good afternoon and welcome to Campus Connection. I'm Rachel Cassandra, and this evening the school board will meet at 6 p.m. Those meetings are every second Tuesday. KFSK will broadcast it live at 6 p.m. And for Campus Connection today, we'll discuss the school board agenda. We are joined by board members Nicole Olson and Superintendent Erica Klute-Painter. Welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Okay, so first thing, maybe we can talk about shifting to a little bit more of a skills-based assessment for fourth and fifth graders.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think we could address a bit of that. Ms. Kahn, actually, it started probably about 2020. They wanted to revamp and reevaluate and realign the K-3 report cards. Actually, they were all K-2. They used to be all basically, they were standards-based report cards. They didn't come with a traditional letter grade. And then they expanded it to third grade a couple of years ago, and then they realigned them to so that they actually are aligned with the new state standards and based on those skills. So they're more specific, more targeted, and then provide parents with more specific information about, you know, where their kids are falling, whether they're exceeding the standard, whether they're meeting it, whether they're approaching it, or whether they're in need of some support. And so that was rolled out a couple of years ago, and they would like to extend that to fourth and fifth grade. They feel that the staff, after looking at various pieces of research around it and then just trying to make the information more clear for families about where their kids actually are. You know, what does an A mean? It's a little more challenging to define that, especially for a 9-year-old. So I think it's important to have a little more specificity around that. And that's the thinking behind that change and adjusting that to fourth grade next year and then extending it to fifth grade the following year and then having K-5 be all those specific standards-based report cards, skill-based. Yeah.
Yeah. So, the hope is that families will be able to look at it and instead of, knowing that they just got, you know, a B in, say, English and language arts, it would be, they would have separate skills for, like, reading and writing and effort or...
Yeah, and just the basic, you know, really based off those, especially ELA and math standards, but each of the subject areas really, just trying to be a little bit more specific about it. And then including with those report cards, when we do the 3 times a year assessments, looking at MAP assessments or... upcoming DIBELS assessments, we're going to be starting to restarting those again, after a few year break for our K-2 students. So it'll provide more specific information for families about where their kids are and maybe some more targeted things that we can be doing at school to support kids and also that families could be doing with their students at home.
I think anytime we can give families more information and more details on those cards to let them know where their kiddos are at, it's going to be beneficial for everyone.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
Yeah, and will it end up being a little bit more work for the teachers in fourth and fifth grade?
It will. I mean, just in the sense of looking at rubrics, looking at how they are, whether they're grading projects or whether they're, or it's a, a group activity or an individual activity, that sort of thing, being more specific about that. So it does. I mean, it requires some more specific alignment with those skills so that kids know what they're supposed to be doing and why, and then providing, you know, an accurate reflection of how they're doing on that. So, yeah.
Okay, great. Mm-hmm. And you said we have some staffing updates.
Mm-hmm. Yep, we do have a few resignations and a retirement. We would like to recognize Mr. Kowalski for his many years in our district. He's been here for at least 20 years. And then I think he had another, I want to get it right, I think it's 4 or 5 in Anchorage prior to coming to us. So we are... very happy for him. Sorry to see him go, but happy for his retirement. And then we also have Miss Shannon Vanderbest, who also teaches fourth grade, has decided to resign at this time. She's looking at some different things in her life, has an aging father that she wants to spend a little more time with, and life priorities, you know. And the same thing with our Miss Samantha Marifern, who's been teaching swim for us for a couple of years, is looking for a little time to recalibrate her life after some pretty big changes in her personal life this year and a loss that was pretty challenging. And so, yeah, she's looking for a little time to take a break. Both Sam and Shannon are both very interested in being on our sub list, which is a great thing. And of course, I think Sam's potentially looking down the road at, you know, returning to the classroom. She's pretty young, so I think that's her goal as well. But we certainly wish them well and thank them for their time. So we'll have a couple of positions there that will be posted. We also have opened up also this week with the work that we're doing with the READS Act and trying to prepare for next year, especially in this season of challenging recruitment and retention around the state and really around the country. So we're looking at hiring an additional reading specialist at this time at the elementary, and that's kind of in response to what's coming with the READS Act, and then also a reflection of some of the things that we're looking at to support our students and families with regard to the recent report card that came out as well, and looking at some targeted assistance there. So, yeah, I think that's where we are with staffing.
And you'll get a lot more information. Are contracts due Friday? Teachers decide whether or not they're re-signed?
Yes, we will have the final list of everybody that's coming back for sure by this week. So, yeah, I think we've got a pretty good list now of everybody that's made some big decisions. So we did put those out a little earlier than normal this year, just trying to look ahead to what's happening with recruitment and retention in the state. It's a big hurdle right now up here. Lots going on in the legislature with regard to that. Looking at the base student allocation, trying to advocate for that, and then also looking at the retirement system. There's a lot of interest, I think, finally, at the legislative level for those two areas, because the hiring situation is a crisis in our state, for sure. So we're definitely seeing it here, too.
Mm-hmm.
Challenging. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. But, yeah, with all of the potential extra instruction needed for the READS Act, with actually a reading specialist, it makes sense. You would want to hire someone else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we just need more. We're going to need more support in just the way the law is reading right now with the regulations, that a lot of the work that has to be done for students that are not meeting benchmark standards, there's specific plans that have to be written for that. And currently the way the legislation's written, that needs to be done by a reading specialist. So we're fortunate we do already have one on staff, but many districts right now are looking for the same, where everybody's looking for the same people. So including the state, which is looking for reading specialists that they can also provide to districts that are really struggling in that kind of comprehensive support level. That's part of their duty, I guess, their diligence is to try to provide that support. So,
and how far does our reach go for where we advertise for that kind of recruitment?
Well, we have expanded that the last couple of years because we do work through our teacher placement, but we also do more outreach, like even at specific universities, or trying to get on some of those kind of listservs that way.
Mm-hmm.
Various kind of not headhunters, but sort of like that, you know, places where people go for that. Yeah, it's a lot of districts are hiring international teachers, and I have probably, even just this week, I would say I've received, I bet, 15 emails from teachers from the Philippines.
Wow.
So that seems to be a pretty large interest level, and a lot of districts have been hiring teachers from the Philippines. So, which, you know, that's a great opportunity for them and for us. And so it may be something that comes down our pipeline here as well. So I've just received just sort of like hard, or whatever you call that, you know, just emails that are blind. Mm-hmm. I mean, that have come, you know, without necessarily an opening out there yet, because our positions currently that we have to fill are just posted inside, which is required by our negotiated agreement. So we start there and then we branch out. So next week those will go live further out.
I would imagine the reading specialist pool within the state is going to get snatched up pretty quickly.
Very.
With the rest of the districts being in the same position
yes,
that we are.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And very much, in my meetings with our superintendent group or just with other districts around the state or meeting with the Department of Ed, that sort of thing, people are very concerned about this. I mean, we're so fortunate here because we have currently have one and actually have potentially even others on our staff who have the certification who might be interested. Multiple districts around the state do not have people on staff and already are having huge challenges recruiting quality teachers in general. And then looking for people in these specialized areas is going to be a challenge. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, I was going to ask, is there opportunity to promote internally? Mm-hmm. If someone's interested in pursuing more education and becoming a reading specialist, can they start that education? Can they be working on their degree while they're in the position?
They can, and that is actually how we've had, I would say actually both, our current reading specialist, Ms. Wormack, that's what she has done. She's been working on it as she's, you know, throughout. She's also working on some ELL certification, which is also helpful, English language learner certification. And then we do have actually two other people on staff who have a reading specialist, a reading master's degree or a reading endorsement. So, of course, then that means
They have to fill those positions too.
If one of them moves into a position, then that's another position. But sometimes those specialty areas are really hard to fill in addition to.
Yeah, it might be easier to find a teacher position.
We're hoping.
Yeah.
We're hoping.
So much.
Yeah.
And then I'm curious, I know it will be discussed tonight, the sort of district report card. Mm-hmm. Have you all talked about were there surprises for you all in there? Like, have you talked about just the school's kind of reaction, teachers' reaction to this?
Yeah, well, so we did, you know, put this out, provided information about it, put it in the packet. It has all come very recently. Typically, we are able to know those designations usually more like November, December. With this new AK Star assessment, that created a longer lag time. So we didn't receive these until like the 3rd or 4th of February. So we've been trying to kind of digest where we are. So the middle and high school, so there's basically some levels. Comprehensive support is sort of that really lowest support that needs, that's more of a whole program-wide or school-wide kind of emphasis. And then there's a targeted support, which is where our elementary school is right now. And then our middle and high school are in the universal support level, which is just typically like a kind of a monitoring support. I mean, just you've met the thresholds that the department has put out. Obviously, we're not excited about being in a targeted support position, but I also look at it as an opportunity. Targeted means targeted. There's a specific subgroup that did not perform to the level that they needed to. So to us, that's a wake-up call that we need to look at. We need to work with our families. There's a process that goes along with it. I think the other thing is just also to keep this in perspective in the sense that we're coming out of some pretty rough few years. I am not surprised that our youngest learners might have had the most impact with regard to disruptions and trying to do some of those remote pieces, especially initially in March, you know, 2020 into 2021. So I'm not completely surprised at it, but it allows us an opportunity to look at some improvement planning. And the process for it is a good process. It's a pretty lengthy process. So we're trying to learn more about it just because we haven't really been in this position before. So we're working with the Department of Ed. There is some funding that goes along with it as well, some planning funding, and then some funding moving into next year. And I think also just, like I said, just we're keeping it in perspective. So I'm not upset about it. I'm not panicked about it. It is what it is. It's an opportunity for us. So that's how we're looking at it. And we will make growth, and I'm not concerned about that. I absolutely know if we put our mind to whatever we're doing, that's what we'll do. We'll put our energy to it. Goes right in line with everything we're doing right now with regard to preparing for the READS Act. It goes right in line with everything we're doing right now with our the ELA grant, the English Language Arts grant that we're engaged with the Department of Ed already. We are going through the RTI MTSS, looking at our multi-tiered system of supports for all kids. That's another process we're already doing. So school improvement planning is already happening. We're not surprised that we need to move this direction. And it just gives us an opportunity to target some students who are in need of some extra support. And so, yeah, so that's where we are.
Yeah, yeah. And so I'm obviously a new reporter this year. So last year, did you have this thorough an assessment?
Well, the report card is something that happens every year, but it's been basically kind of frozen since about 2019 because we did not, we did not have an assessment in 2020. 2021, we didn't have an assessment until AK Star. We attempted to do one 2 years ago, and actually our district, we did have the infrastructure to be able to do it, but most districts weren't able to. A lot of districts weren't able to do. The tech had glitches and problems. So we did actually have a fairly successful implementation of the test a couple of years ago. And then last year, as we've discussed, this AK Star assessment is new. It is exceptionally rigorous. And the other piece of this that I think probably weighed in, there's several factors, if you look at that report card, that have to do with EL students and how they're doing. There's also a section that typically is in there for growth. And so we don't have anything to measure against. All we have is one score. So again, I'm not trying to dismiss or diminish the importance of what this means for us, but yeah, it's one score literally on mm-hmm. one day. So it's where we are. You know, there's no measurement of growth, which is challenging.
I thought it was, yeah. I mean, and it's also really notable that the demographic of Alaska Native and Native American students, there was a discrepancy in the elementary school, but not in the older age groups. Mm-hmm. It didn't continue. So it could just be so many different things. Mm-hmm. But it also could be that the school system here is actually working to equalize, mm-hmm. you know, performance throughout groups. I don't know. That's one possibility.
Right. And I do think, and like I said, the process that we will be going through, again, it's a good process. I mean, and really what we do is we will be looking into any and all possible. I mean, that means you're looking at attendance data, you're looking at, I mean, again, we've had lots of different teachers, moving in and out the last few years due to lots of reasons. COVID moving on, it's been, you know, there's been more of a population shift in our staffing, that's been more unstable than it typically has been in the past. That's not something we're used to here. We're used to very stable, staffing, and that has been, those things are challenging. We're trying to find a third kindergarten teacher and a third first grade teacher in those first couple of years of COVID and trying to spread, you know, kids out and doing all those things that were being recommended. And so, there's a lot of factors, and it will be interesting really to just dive into it. I mean, that's what we need to do. And that's how I'm looking at it. It's just an opportunity to look deeper and to, continue to just build out some of those relationships and partnerships that we already have, with our Alaska Native and American Indian community. And see what we can do better to support our students. So I think that's how I'm looking at it.
Yeah, and it sounds like because there's some funding associated with it, and I know I think Principal Khan put in her notes that they might be looking for outside help with some of the paperwork that goes along with that.
Mm-hmm. Yes, because it is a brand new process to us at this point, we are definitely doing outreach. I've done quite a bit of outreach already just yesterday and today with different agencies at the Department of Ed and with some other agencies that we typically hire some support services from. And there are people that are trained just to help
with this,
take you through this initial process. Yeah. So yeah. I think we've got some good opportunities.
I think it's worth mentioning, too, that when you look at statewide on that DEED website and all the other primary K through five report cards, a lot of them were on that lower end. And so I think just coming out of the last 2 years of challenges that these kids have faced, it's not a huge surprise. But mm-hmm. with the READS Act coming down the pipeline, we'll have the pieces in place to support and yeah. see growth and improvement.
Yeah, certainly. And it's mm-hmm. it's really clear that COVID and everything that came with it impacted different demographic groups so differently. Like mm-hmm. it wasn't a one size fits all sort of
right.
impact.
Yep. I would agree with that as well. And I think as you said, that's a good point, Nicole, too, just to, when you do look, because you can go in and look at all kinds of different schools in there. Our overall, I think that's the other piece to keep in mind. The overall index of the school is actually higher than many schools. But that's the piece of the targeted assistance piece, is that that's just the way it is. That's the subgroup piece. And so whether you have one group or you have nine groups, you go down the road of the same process. So, you know, mm-hmm. that's where we are. Luckily we have one, we can focus on one mm-hmm. as a priority. So, yeah.
Okay, great. And, is it worth talking about the updated science requirements? Are families thinking about that? I mean, it's basically like one extra science course for high schoolers, mm-hmm. not changing their overall course requirements, but just right. one of their electives mm-hmm. has to be science. One more of their electives.
Yeah, this was actually, we realized that the curriculum and the map for these courses actually was approved last year, but we didn't actually put all the language into the policy. So we needed to do that. So the board had seen all of this last year and had seen the realignment of the courses, starting with the physical science in eighth grade, biology in ninth grade, and then this place-based introduction to chemistry class for sophomores, was actually approved last year, but it just didn't make the policy. So we adjusted that. And so it's all, the whole thing, as we said in the notes, is it's reflected in alignment with the next generation science standards. So it all makes sense. And everybody we've already been doing it, you know, so that's the yeah. trajectory. But we just needed to make sure that it was reflected.
So this year, seniors have already been meeting all those requirements.
Well, actually, no, it rolls in. So actually next year, upcoming freshman class. They are taking eighth grade physical science this year.
I see.
They will. So it's a roll in. And I think yeah. that's why we ended up not. I think we all
not
were looking at the trajectory.
Last
yeah.
year. Yeah.
So anyway, so now it needs to be like, this is the official incoming with this next freshman class. They'll be the first class to have the biology requirement as a freshman, and then the introduction to chemistry. And then they can choose whatever other elective they want, and there's multiple science electives, or if they want to take the next step of more like the college entry chemistry or physics, or if they want to take aquaculture or you know, there's food science, there's a variety.
There's choices out
there.
Aquaculture.
Yeah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, aquaculture's a good one. Yeah. I even took that one.
That
it's
sounds
a great
awesome.
Class.
I want to take that class.
We definitely did not have that at my high school.
It's a very Southeast class. It's great.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So
pretty
yeah.
lucky here with the opportunities for kids.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And so anything else that you all want to touch on?
Anything else? Nicole?
I don't think so.
Okay. Yeah.
It's a Valentine's Day school board
it's
meeting.
It's a Valentine's
yeah.
Day party.
So thank you for joining us for Campus Connection, where we get a chance to talk with the school board about the meeting agenda. And today I was joined by board member Nicole Olson and Superintendent Erica Klutpainter. Thanks so much for joining me today.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah.